and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Good morning, it's Catching with Captain Reese, and this is Kayak Kevin. Yeah, Captain Reese is on vacation. Where is he at, Damien?
I believe he's down in Florida.
Florida? He didn't go down tropics, or basically.
I believe he is in the Keys. I think Marathon is down there in the Keys. You would know, you've been there.
Yeah. So, all right, good.
I saw on Facebook he had a beautiful picture of him and his lovely bride out there floating in some crystal blue water.
So happy wife.
That's right.
So, yeah, this is Kaya Kevin. We got Damien Hall in here also, of course, producer extraordinaire. And, Captain Reese is in Florida this week, and he's got me finally in here again. And it's been a long time since I've been in there in the studio anyway. I've called in every once in a while. But I used to be in here all the time. I've actually kind of got my start in the media here at Reese's Show and with Rick Burnley. But if you're not familiar with who I am, I'll go through my list, right? I kind of always feel weird about going through this list because it sounds like I'm bragging. I mean, really, when I go through it, I try to not to like do it like that. But okay, so in 2003, I'm all kayak, right? I'm all kayak. I don't do too much boat stuff.
Hence the name Kayak Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and my website's kayakkevin.com. In 2003 is really when I started off, and I did a 500-mile tour around from Florida, Georgia border back here to north of Virginia. So that was my first thing, and that was, I came on. That's when I started coming on with Reese and started talking about my adventures and all that stuff. And I've been on here a lot. In 2004, I did a 200-mile tour, kayaking tour, solo kayaking tour, and all these are solo kayaking tours where I'm basically just paddling for miles and camping out every day and just making a tour of it. From Oregon Inlet, North Carolina, to Ocean City, Maryland. In 2005, I did my longest tour it was 1,800 miles from Pensacola, Florida, to Norfolk, Virginia.
1,800.
It took me 4.5 months to do.
So straight, no stop.
No stop. I actually had a kid ask me when I was on a beach and, just talking to people, and I said, well, I've been on for 5-6 weeks at this point. She goes, without stopping? And I was like, no, I camp out every day. And she looked disappointed that I stopped every day. She was like, it's not like I've been out here for weeks and I'm surviving out here and all that stuff. He was like, oh, you actually stopped? So yeah, that one I guess is my, that is my, definitely my longest tour, my biggest tour. All this stuff is on my website, of course. And 2006, I became the very first kayak and only Virginia Expert Angler Award here in Virginia. So that was a really, really hard achievement for me that no one had become a kayak angler, expert angler from here. You know, with the expert angler citation program here in Virginia. So I was the first kayaker to do that. In 2007, I did 180 mile from Virginia Beach to Delaware Bay. That was a 180 mile tour. In 2007, I achieved expert angler again. So I became the second person, the only to achieve expert angler. And since then, Rob Troy has done it. He did it last year, 2013, not 2013. In 2008, I did a 200-mile tour around the Virginia part of Chesapeake Bay. And then in 2010, my first DVD came out. So I went from, from touring and doing all this expert angler chase to I started producing DVDs. All this on my website, So my first DVD came out, Kayak Fishing in Chesapeake Bay 1, and that was kind of a year-long overview of what me, you, Lee, and Shante at the time, what our crew was going through. Basically, we spent a year filming on the Chesapeake Bay with us, and we put that out on a DVD. In 2010, also, I put three DVDs out in 2 years. In 2010, I did a 600-mile tour around the Chesapeake Bay and filmed that to put that on a DVD. 2011, I became the first only master angler, kayaker, kayak only master angler. So
now, what does that mean?
a 25 citation fish over a period of time. So, you know,
gotcha.
Yeah, so I accumulated my 25 to get to the master angler. And I'm right now I hold that. I'm the only one that has it. Rob is right there. He'll probably get that this year or next year. Nice. With his collection. You know, you know, master angler isn't as hard as expert angler. Expert angler, you have a time limit. You're 6 per. You have to get it within a calendar year. Expert angler or master angler, it's a 25 fish accumulation.
So 6 trophies in a year and then 25 trophies over. Over a short amount of time.
Period. Or just a period. No, then okay. There's no time limit.
Okay.
And you have to have, I think, 5 different fish, or you have to have a mix of fish. You can't just do one. You can't do 25 citation reds and make master angler.
Gotcha.
I mean, you're a badass red fisherman, but you're not. All right, so that was the Master Angler. In 2011, I put out the Kayak Fishing Chesapeake Bay 2 DVD. That was the summer species, so it was more instructional. The first one wasn't so instructional, so this one was more instructional. In 2012, I became the there was an online there's a website online that did a people's poll type of thing, and I became the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards Kayak Angler of the Year in 2012. In 2013, I chased reds a lot. 2014, last year, we started a podcast. So basically, coming from, you know, my experience here with Reese and other stuff like that, I started a podcast. Became a fan of podcasts online. And basically, what a podcast is, if you don't know, is a online radio show. That's really all it is. It's a radio show it goes live, or sometimes they don't live, but it goes live, and then you can also download MP3s of it. You can listen to your car. Or you can, you know, we film it and put it on YouTube. So it's like one of those TV shows, which is a radio show, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a talk show on TV, but you can listen to
what's
it in
the sports
car.
Dan Patrick or somebody. So it's
we run Dan Patrick here on Fox, not on Fox Sports, but on here on AM 850 WTAR. Yeah.
But so it's kind of
everything.
It's kind of like that where we're basically just doing a talk radio show, but the cameras are on us and we put it out. So we started that last year, and that's been a lot of fun. And of course, with my experiences with here, it was easy to go in, and being just a fan of the show. It was a lot of fun, and so also here is on my show, on my podcast, we could talk for an hour and a half straight. We have commercials here, so when I came in, it was like, okay, when are the commercial breaks? When I'm used to just running my mouth and just having a conversation for a long time, but I think we're good.
We can do that today.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So, yeah, that's all right. And also this year, my last thing I did this year was I put out my 4th DVD with Kayak Fishing Chesapeake Bay number 3, and that was the wintertime species striper and tautog. So that's out now. So yeah, that's me. If you know, it's a quick review of what I've accomplished, who I am in this area, in this fishery. It's kayakkevin.com, and yeah, and I'm stoked to be here again, you know, hosting this show. It's been a while, man. And that's the thing is, I don't wake up this early.
Yeah,
you know, I used to work at Ocean's East Tackle Shop, which is a sponsor of this show, and that was probably I left there in last year and started to work at Appomattox River Company. I don't have to be there till 10. So, I do not wake up early in the morning anymore. It's so weird. I mean, we don't even wake up that early to fish that much. I mean, I did the other day, but I really don't do it that much anymore. We ended up going, you know, we go up at slack tides and stuff like that. So, you know, we used to go so early in the morning, man. And I'm getting old, and I'm like not wanting to do that so much anymore. And then, of course, with a job with a 10 o'clock, you know, get there time, it's like, man, I don't have to get up till sunrise.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. You become a fair weather fisherman. And the same thing with, you know, having to go to work, you know?
yeah exactly. I've kind of got it kind of cool right now.
Yeah, can't beat that. But so, in today's weather, it's now 6:16 here at AM 850 WTAR. If somebody's trying to get out now, Kevin, if you want to grab the detailed stuff, I'll give a brief synopsis of the beginning of the day, unless you want to take it.
Well, actually, that doesn't look like that's gonna work right.
Kind of sprung that on you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll look at let's see, NOAA weather. Well, what I like to do with weather forecast is I go to a bunch of different weather stations.
Sure.
If you go to my website, kayakkevin.com, in the links page all the way to the right-hand side, you'll see basically that is what we use to whatever we do for weather around here. Me, Damien.
Yeah, it's a shortcut on my phone. Yeah, you know, I go right to it. Reese goes to it.
You had it right here on your computer, too. Sure. That was cool.
Yeah, yeah. And when I produce for Reese, a lot of times I would go right to Kaya Kevin's website, and that is a perfect link section. Go to the links at kayakkevin.com, and there's all the fish weather links that you need to be a fisherman or a hunter in this area and know what's going on.
Fish weather, NOAA. I think I have land-based, weather underground and stuff like that. So it looks like today is small craft advisory from late tonight through Monday morning. Mm. So. But it says through 7 a.m., it's only east 10 knots.
Sure.
Yeah. So it looks like it's going to pick up later on today. Like, yeah, today east 10:15, tonight picking up 15 to 20 after midnight. Yeah, it looks like it's going to get rainy. Rain likely until morning. Yeah, Sunday. Okay, Sunday's looking windy. Sunday's looks like a blowout. Looks like 15 to 20 knots gust with gust around 25. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so tomorrow's not going to be the fishing day, and it's already raining. When I rolled into work this morning, I went out to warm up the car, and I heard, you know, the rain hitting the leaves on the ground, and, you know, one of those mornings.
Yeah, it's one of those drizzly mornings.
Yeah, it didn't feel as cold outside, though. Here in downtown Norfolk, it's 48 degrees, 46 in Hampton on the peninsula, and 50 on the Outer Banks.
Yeah, definitely. When I walked outside this morning, I was expecting to have the frost on the ground and be frozen up like it was.
I thought the same thing.
Looking at the fish weather forecast for the week, it doesn't look all that great either.
Great week to work on the boat trailer and whatnot.
It looks like it's going to get really cold. It looks like there's a cold front coming through. Today is east. It looks like this is showing east, right? So this is showing east. Sunday turning south. It's going to be warm tomorrow, but it's going to be that rainy warm, right? And then Monday, that cold front's coming through, dropping those temps down, you know, into the 30s and 40s. Oh, man. Wednesday through Thursday, northwest winds, and that temperature doesn't get out of the 20s overnight.
Big cool down for this week. Get ready for it.
It is January.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've been.
We've been spoiled for the last couple of months. Yeah. At least I have been.
It's just been such a weird year, too.
Really has.
Yeah.
You know, I went snowboarding a couple weeks ago up in the mountains, and it was like 20 degrees when we got there. And when we left, it was 40 plus, and it got 57 that day with rainstorms.
Where'd you go?
Snowshoe, West Virginia.
Oh, man. Usually, I mean, that sounds like wintergreen and messing up, right?
Yeah. Virginia snowshoe. Weather. Mm. No, you don't drive 7 hours for that, or, you know, 6+ hours for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a slow ride, but it doesn't hurt when you fall, when it's slushy like that.
Yeah. And, you know, we've become like East Coast experts at it. With the ice and the slush and the rain, the conditions, you're just good at it, where if you, you know, going out west, you'll get spoiled.
But that's the thing, is when I was riding, and when I talk to people from the West Coast or even up north, when they have powder and stuff, it's like, yeah, riding around here is like street skating.
Yeah.
I mean, you're riding on a surface that'll beat you up. So it's not like. And another thing is, when you're riding snowboarding, on powder, you got to lean back like you're in the water.
Sure.
On this material, this is what we have around here, the groomed frozen surfaces.
Yeah.
You're a front foot pivot. You know, it's a whole different style of riding.
Yep. And that weather will change on a dime here in Virginia, and as we know with the fishing weather.
Yeah.
It tends to create those little patterns and change things. But I hear the fishing's been still, you know, decent around town.
Yeah, well, the water temperatures haven't dropped that bad yet. I mean, we're still in a decent. Well, I bet with this cold front coming, that's going to change that. But like right now, we have 45 degrees at the first island, so that's not freezing. I mean, that's not the cutoff. The cutoff is what, 42. Usually, Tog and Striper have a tendency of just cutting off at that temperature. We did go togging. I went out. Okay, so yeah. So do we need to take a commercial break or anything like that? Okay, I'm going to keep rolling because I'm used to rolling.
It's now 6:21 this morning.
Oh, and the phone number, 627-9827. Call in with any questions. I haven't been here in a while, so, you know, call up with any questions. Anything that's going on this year, anything you got questions for me, anything about the fishery, anything, just give us a call. 627-9827, 627-9827. All right. Where was I?
Yeah, you can also check us out at WTAR.com. It's the best of Catching with Captain Reese. Well, Kaya Kevin's here filling in for Captain Reese. If you're just joining us, you're 6:22 here at AM 850 WTAR. You're talking about togging. You got to go out and do a little togging.
Yeah, so the last time I was on a boat was 2011. You know, when I was with them, I was like, man, what do I get out maybe once a year? And Lee was like, no, it was been a couple years.
I'm sure.
And then I started thinking about it. And the last time we went out was with Rick and Lee again. Mm-hmm. We put the kayaks on Rick's boat and went between the second and third hunting cobia. And the plan was going to jump off of the boat onto the kayaks and, you know, target them like that. jumped off about four or five of them, and it spooked him every time. That was, you know, it just didn't have it worked out right. Yeah. But we ended up catching Kobe off the boat. Lee caught a 67-pounder, got video of that. Wow. It's a ridiculous video, you know, like bash, like a bad gaff job, and you know, blood.
Drama.
We actually bled out the fish in the water. It was pretty funny. It was like the Three Stooges type of thing, you know, like just goofballs of, you know, should have had like had that music going on it, but you know, Benny Hill stuff. But so finally, it's getting cold. You know, it was going to be nice on. It was New Year's Eve, right? It was New Year's Eve, and it was looking nice. I was going to go out that day, but I knew I was just going to go paddle. I was probably going to go Eastern Shore. I was either going to go paddle around for striper and have a real small chance because they're so spread out. It's not consistent as it's used to been. Or I was going to go into the creeks and basically just paddle around and look. So I knew I was going to be out. I figured I wasn't going to catch any fish. Lee said that Rick was going. I was like, well, I can go do that and then at least maybe catch some fish and hang out with my two best buddies, you know, that type of thing. So that was fun. It was freezing, man. Woo! Got up in the morning and it was so cold. You know, the boat was frozen, and I'm not used to that stuff, right? Yeah. So I'm like on the dock sliding around.
See, I was explaining to my girlfriend when it's cold out and you're on the kayak, and I was explaining to my brother paddling for stripers, it's all right because you're moving, you're constantly moving. Your legs get kind of, because they're sitting there and you're not doing nothing, but you can sit Indian style. You can be very comfortable and just keep warm because you're paddling. But on the boat, the motor's going, the wind's blowing.
I had everything on. I had every bit of my clothes on that I had. But it was good. You know, I don't have like Grunins and like boat gear. So I just wore waders. I just basically wore the same thing I would wear in a kayak.
Sure.
Just so I wouldn't get wet. But man, that was fun. We went out to the tower area, you know, and it was cool because I haven't done that. So for me, it was kickback, watch the boat guys work. You know, watch Rick and Lee work together because they do it all the time. Rick's on the fish finder and we're like doing almost a flower pattern. I mean, he's got a GPS going so you can see our tracks. And we come across this structure. It's a big structure. Boom, it's just sticking up. It's a nice, prominent structure on the fish finder. And he starts doing almost like a flower petal type of motion around. So we're tracking this thing. So if we're getting us centered. We're getting it centered. So he keeps going around and around. And it's here, we're here, and we find it. And so Lee puts down the anchor, and that thing locks up quick. I mean, locks up quick. There's no – it's like, boom, we're in, we're done, right? So we start dropping, and it takes a couple minutes. You're on the back of the boat, nothing. It feels kind of like ground. It didn't feel like we had too much structure. Go to the front of the boat, and there's like a 10-foot drop-off. It's that type of difference. And, you know, first I get a bite. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a bite. That's the first bite. You know, it's weird because you never know with tog fishing. You don't know if you're in them. You don't know. So you've put it down. You're exploring. You don't know. You really can't see the fish. It's not like you're targeting striper on the fish finder in the middle of the water column and you can really see them. I mean, you can see fish on the structure, but you don't know what that is, right? So we drop down. I get a bite. Miss. Ooh, okay. That's a bite. Our confidence just lifts, right? It's just that confidence lifting moment where you get a bite. You know it's a tog because we all know it. We catch tog. We know what they feel like. We know what – we miss one. We know what it is. And then Rick catches one. So, all right, we're in some fish. And then I catch one. And then I start hot rodding for a second. I catch like four or five, like bam, 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 right? Next to Lee, who is the tog master, right? So I'm like, ah. But then, I mean, we're in them at this point. We had them for like 2 hours, man. It was just nonstop bites. We ran through our green crabs, and we were cutting green crabs in half. We just burning through them. Clams, we had clams. That was working right. So that was a lot of fun. Caught them small, you know, under, you know, 12 inches all the way up to Rick's biggest. Rick's one was 24 inches, 9 pounds something. So he had a citation out of there. So that was a really good day. That was a really good day.
Yeah, definitely sounds any day that you can get palatable. Now, did you guys go all the way out to, way out into the blue water?
Well, no, to the Tower Reefs.
Okay,
so that's not too far. They're talking names of wrecks, and of course they don't register for me because I'm not used to any of them.
Me neither.
But we just went out to there, and it wasn't that far though. Wasn't that far? And actually, you know, that's the first time I've ever been out there.
Oh,
Nice. Being here, you know, being a fisherman for this yeah. long, I've never been out to the tower before.
And so with all the criteria you mentioned earlier, the accomplishments you've made with all the kayak angling and paddling and whatnot, and paddling from Florida up, and then some things that are right here in the bay, but it's a different animal.
No, it's totally a different thing. I mean, I'm all inshore. I'm all kayak, so I'm not going to paddle out 15 miles to the tower just to, you know, that's an all-day paddle. So that's out of our range. That's out of my range. I mean, I've heard guys that have done it. Guys, you know, they basically just, it's an accomplishment thing. It's like me crossing a bay. No reason to cross the bay paddling just to do it. That's you could drive across the bay. You don't have to paddle across the bay. That's an accomplishment thing.
How many times have you paddled across the bay?
I've paddled across the bay 4 times and didn't make it on the 5th.
Wow.
So I'm 4-1.
4-1, but still here to tell you about it. Oh, that sounds like a success, though, if you're still here to talk about it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. I got saved. And that's actually, that whole scenario is on that Bay Tour DVD.
That's right. That's
I took on water, and it was sketchy. It was sketchy. It was the only time I've had to be rescued. So that was in, you know, yeah.
6:28 here at AM 850 WTAR with Kayak Kevin filling in for the Capitan Reese. He's out in beautiful Florida.
Florida, in the sun.
New Year's vacation.
In the sun. He's got sun on. It was almost sunny, but he'll have sun on him here in the morning while we're up here. Cold.
Yeah,
rainy and rainy windy.
Day. 100% chance for rain for today, and this weekend looks like a weekend to fix the rods and the reels and take care of those. Do the wintertime maintenance that needs to be done.
Hey, man,
it's been a lax winter.
You know, as I've gotten older, and as I've, you know, I was a workaholic for a long time. You know, with the DVDs, I mean, I put 3 DVDs out in 2 years. That's straight workaholic stuff there. I mean, that's you're obsessed if you're you put that much, you know,
video
work out.
It takes a while.
So yeah, so I've gotten, you know, I'm 44 now, and I've gotten to where I've slowed down. I smell the roses type of thing, right? I've gotten to the point where I've take off these 2 months right now are my time off. Besides this right here, in the next couple of weeks and stuff, I won't know what the tide's doing. That knowledge will slip out of my head, and it's actually a reset. I mean, because, you know, we're hardcore. We go. We live this. We live the life. We live fishing in the summer, in the main season. I know what the tides are doing right now. I know what the water temperature is doing. You know, I know what the weather's doing the next week. I know I have a game plan. It's, you know, it's consistent, but it fills your head with a lot of stuff. This time of year, I can release all that stuff. I let all that go. I'm not thinking about fishing, but what I'm doing is I'm working, you know, I'm working on the podcast. I'm working on putting videos out. I just put out the 53 inch red that I've caught over in the nice. Fall, put that out. So it's what I call my editing season. It's my inside sitting behind the computer work, you know, doing that type of stuff. Because once the summer starts coming, once the spring starts coming and those reds show up, I'm done. You know, to have me inside, you're not going to have me inside anymore. I mean, I become obsessed. My brain completely shuts off from the outside world, and all I focus on are reds. I mean, I feel them. I feel them when they come in the bay.
Yeah. and when Kevin says that, I mean, I've witnessed it firsthand where he's paddled along. He's like, do you smell them? I can smell them. Do you smell those? That's reds. They're here. And then, zip, 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 oh, there they are.
Dude, that's gotten
calm and complacent.
That's, you know, when that first happened, we kind of, you know, that kind of smells like them. Now it's like a science. We go, we've actually found them by following the scent. We got video of this. Me and Rob, we're going to do that this year. We're going to collaborate a video of his footage and my footage of us both smelling them and then coming together and smelling them and like guiding, like nose up in the air. Like you know, just like a dog would, like really, and then boom, getting them. Like, there's a slick over here. I smell them. Paddle, paddle, paddle. Boom, rod goes down. You know, it's that type of thing. So it's become a science of that. And what's weird was with the smell thing is it changes with what they eat. When that year we really first started smelling them, the correlation was I had this big red. He was defecating everywhere. I mean, just. It was like a hose. It was disgusting. I couldn't use the release shot because it was so bad, right, on the video. So
the footage was unusable.
Dude, but it smelled like rotten crab, okay. Right? So it's a rotten crab smell that year. But that year was the year that we had the crab explosion. The crab population was exploding, so that's really all they were eating. Last year, and so now it smells kind of like a croaker. It's like a rotten croaker poop smell. It's that mix. So it's not like you smell like reds like their skin. You're smelling them you know, behind them, basically. Yeah.
their aftermath.
Yeah, their trail. So yeah, it's interesting to see, and you know, as whatever is prominent in the bay, how they actually, their scent is changing. But it's like humans too. I mean, yeah. You'll smell like what you eat, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. About with anything, but it just shows to put a lot of time on the water to be able to to tune into them to that way.
To be that contemplative. You know, you know, when I first started fishing, and when I first started getting serious, I started doing fishing logs. Fishing logs were very important, and the goal was, I remember telling Rick, the goal was within 5 years, I want to be able to walk out to the bay, go, reds are over here, put my finger in the water, you know, taste the water, flounder over here. You know, I wanted to have that kind of like intimate, intelligent knowledge, you know, and that was what fishing logs were doing, and that's always kind of like, you should do seminars on how to do fishing logs, and they're easy, you just do it. And but what the thing is, and the reason why it's so important, is you can go back and check, because your memory is not as good as you think. No matter what you think, your memory, you can go back and go, oh, it was this degrees, it was this barometer was happening here, but your memory is not the same. You can be mixing it up with another day. You go back and look at that exact day, exact thing what you wrote down that night, and you can learn a lot.
Yeah. And I remember that. Those days where it was a banner day, where it was one that you don't forget, where it's hand over fist and it's going crazy, and then Kevin goes, hold on, let me go back to my books, and goes back and finds out, oh, this is what, you know.
Correlated exactly with how good it was, if it matched to how good it was the last time it was that good, or if, you know, where the temperature change was, and that's how we figure out the togs. And also, you know, talking to people, you know, you know, if you're getting into fishing and you do fishing logs, you go to the local tackle shops. The local clubs are important because they have seminars every week, so you can really learn a lot. And just asking people, because one of the other things, like tog, when we kind of we had a hunch that the prime temps were in the 55 degree temperatures, because that was usually when we were just whacking them. I mean, we, you know, 20 fish days per person type of thing, right? And so later on, I started talking to divers, and because I was envisioning these togs during the 55, it just seemed like they were everywhere. You know, you have to find holes, but here you could, you know, during that temp, you can find them anywhere. And when I talked to the divers, they were like, 55 degrees is when they were out and about. That's like the summer for them. That's like they're out on their front porch. They're not in their homes. They're in the front porch hanging out with each other. So that was, you know, so it was like correlations
it
and all
that. Builds that picture.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And then you get the GoPro videos where the guys are dropping the GoPros down. And there was one a couple years ago. It was during Thanksgiving, and the guy put a GoPro down on his tog rig. And that was more frustrating than enjoyable, because you saw that the togs are just looking at your bait. He saw that they would just stare at your bait and like tip at it, and Lee saw it and wanted to pull his hair out. You know, he started bugging out, man. He started shaking. No, he starts just, is that what they're doing? I don't want to see this, you know.
Because he realizes he's been playing a game, but.
Yeah, he just didn't realize that. Like, you know, you put your bait down there and you think one comes by and grabs it. No, you put your bait down there and you're covered with them, and they're just looking at it. You know, so that was crazy. But what was cool about that one video that we saw, that it was November, it was the end of November, and there were sheephead down there. With the togs. The sheephead weren't biting. He didn't catch one, but they were down there. So that was interesting. So, you know, maybe who knows what they do, you know? That's another thing.
And all goes to build, you know, experience building that, painting the picture of what's actually going on down there.
Exactly.
Very cool. And again, we're live here at AM 850 WTAR. Kayak Kevin's here filling in for Captain Reese. It's now 6:36 here at AM 850 WTAR. And if you want to join us, 627-9827. That's 627-WTAR. And two of the fishiest hours in talk radio, 6 to 8 a.m. every Saturday morning for Catching with Captain Reese. And the special edition with Kayak Kevin.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. That's right. So what else is going on there, Kevin?
Man, this is winter now. You know? We could probably take a break now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and do that.
For a good half hour.
And, of course, again, if you want to call in and you want to chime in, call 627-9827. That's 627-WTAR. You can also check us out on the web at WTAR.com. That's WTAR.com.
Yeah, and you can stream it there, too. I posted on Facebook that we're going to be on here, and you can stream on there, which is cool because sometimes your radio doesn't work inside your house, or if you're a little too far out of the range, all this this channel is a this goes pretty far. Yeah. I remember when I was on tour on the Bay Tour, I could hear it all the way up the Bay.
Wow.
It was all the way up into Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely the powerhouse here at AM 850 WTAR and AM 790 WNIS. So stick around for more of Catching with Captain Reese with special guest Kai Kevin right after the quick break.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Are you going to need dock power and dock lights? Call the Electric Fisherman. Want a new bait freezer in the garage, but the breaker box is too small? Log on to ColeElectricInc.com. Have you made a room addition or added a boat lift and need a panel upgrade? Call the Electric Fisherman. Scott Cole says fused panel box replacements and service upgrades are his specialty. Serving Southside Hampton Roads for 25 years, Cole Electric, Inc. has helped a lot of us with free estimates and 24-hour electrical services. Call Scott Cole, the Electric Fisherman, 498-COLE. He is on the cutting edge of structured wiring for home theater, computer, telephone, and whole house stereo. Log on to ColeElectricInc.com for your residential electrical needs and get wired into the future. Anglers like to do business with other anglers. 498-COLE, quality electrical contracting and 24-hour service.
You've checked the marine forecast, topped off your fuel, and stowed your gear. But as a responsible boater, you know no matter how prepared you are, things can still go wrong out on the water. You've probably seen CTOW's boats cruising by. It's hard to miss them, since their U.S. Coast Guard licensed captains spend as much time, if not more time, on the water than anyone else. Becoming a member of CTOW gives you a direct connection to that captain. He's standing by 24/7 to help you with the equipment, experience, and know-how to get the job done. Your CTOW membership provides a range of benefits, from free towing, fuel drops, and jump starts to discounts at your favorite places to shop. But most importantly, the $169 you spend on a year's membership gives you the peace of mind of knowing that your CTOW captain has your back. To learn more, call 496-1999. That's 496-1999. Or visit CTOW.com.